morning. Today is Friday, April 16th, and the time is 8:30, and I now call the meeting of the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission of Texas to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. Chairman Curl has resigned from the Finance Commission, so I will serve as the Chair of the Audit Committee. My name is Philip Holt. I'm the Chairman of the Finance Commission of Texas. We want to certainly appreciate Molly's commitment and time that she served to the Commission and to our great state. Molly was appointed back in 2016, and that would give her about 5 years, a little over 5 years of service to the Finance Commission, and we certainly are going to miss her. We appreciate all of her time and effort and her wisdom about the banking and lending interest that she has worked with over the years to bring that experience and her expert opinions to the Finance Commission. So that will be a void in our body. We are working with the Governor's Office to find another replacement, so we wish Molly all the best. At this time, I'd like to conduct a roll check. Hector Cerna, are you present?
Yes, here.
Larry Long, are you present?
Yes, good morning, Chairman. Hello, I'm here.
Thank you, sir. We have a quorum of the Audit Committee with three members present. If there's anyone wishing to address the Commission, you'll need to use the webinar platform in order to be recognized. You must use the raise your hand feature on your screen and submit the agenda item you wish to comment on using the question feature. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes. Agenda items are limited to 10 minutes. The first order of business of the Audit Committee is approval of the minutes of the meeting held on February 19th. These minutes were circulated to the members in the agenda packet. Are there any corrections to the minutes?
Not under 10.
I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the Finance Commission Audit Committee meeting held on February 19th.
Larry Long, I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Larry. Second.
This is Hector Sedna, second.
Members, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it, motion passes. We will now move on to item B. Commissioner Cooper, would you please give us the report?
Members, beginning on page 5 would be our audit-related activities. First would storm report, and I'm going to ask Wendy Rodriguez, our Chief Operating Officer, to make the audit-related report.
Good morning, members. This is Wendy Rodriguez with the Texas Department of Banking. On page 5, you will find the State Office of Risk Management's favorable review of the Texas Department of Banking's Continuity of Operations Plan, or the COOP. They reviewed the plan, they being SORM, which included a revised pandemic plan to be incorporated into the plan for the COVID-19 mitigation measures. I would like to note that the plan is a living document that is intended to grow and be adapted with the organization. There were no outstanding recommendations from the previous plan reviews, and the COOP's next submission will be in January 2022. Does anyone have any questions?
I've got one question on that, just to make sure I understand the dates. The next update is January 30th of 22, and it says your exercise summary please submit by January 30th of 21, which was 4 days after this. Was that submitted, or how does that work?
Yes, let me ask Sammy Chadley, who is in charge of the COOP, to come on up and give you that information.
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. Actually, on that, on the SOM report, those dates were incorrect.
I thought they made that.
They were incorrect. They were a year off. So our COOP is due, the actual plan review is due 2 years from January 21st, January 2021. So it's due in 23. The exercise is due in 22, every 2 years.
That makes sense. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, members, again, this is Wendy Rodriguez. On page 9, you will find the Department of Banking's Outstanding Audit Activities Report. The first audit that is listed is the Garza Gonzalez Audit of the Consumer Assistance Area, which will be presented later on in this meeting. There was one finding associated with the reporting of performance measures. The department is currently working to correct the programming issue and is updating the data entry procedures to simplify the reporting to correct the issue. You're also going to find 5 other outstanding audits. At the next audit committee meeting, we will likely have a couple of these ready to complete it and ready to present. Any questions? Thank you.
Commissioner Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. SML audit activity report is found on page 11, and we have no outstanding audit items on audit to report on.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our report begins on page 12, and you'll see four items noted there. The first of which was a DPS audit on a non-criminal justice electronic audit, which is like criminal history and fingerprint records. And we missed the publication deadline for getting this report out to you, but it's been sent separately, and I think it's been added to the packet online now, so it should be there. So you'll see there was just some minor findings associated with that report. This was related, this is a pretty minimal use related to our HR. Of criminal justice information. We have another one in progress related to our licensing area, which we don't have a report back on yet, but we're waiting on that. And then the next item was the internal audit from Garza Gonzalez and Associates related to the investment portfolio administration of the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. You'll hear that report shortly. It's in this packet. And there was one finding, we'll address that in the report itself, so that'll show up on your next audit activities report. And then lastly, the fiscal activities internal audit from Garza Gonzalez and Associates, and that's scheduled to begin. Just recently we agreed on the dates, and that's scheduled to begin the first week of May. So that's very, very soon. So that's the update. We did report to you at the last meeting. You need to talk louder. Okay. We did report at the last meeting regarding the security and IT audits, and there's a few of those items that are continuing and ongoing because of the nature of IT security. They're not printed in detail here, but as we complete those, some of those will show up on our like IT operational items. You'll see a few of those items. So that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Cooper, we're going to move on to item C. Would you please give us your report?
Yeah, beginning on page 13, we have the report on the C's prepaid funeral home funds, and for this report, we have no C's funds, which I think is a good thing. Then beginning on page 14 would be our trust-funded funeral guarantee fund investment report. It shows obviously, the beginning balance and the ending balance of about $1.4 million. You will see that the deductions basically are items that had to be escheated. And then we have $15,109 restitution paid to 65 customers. And then on the additions are really restitution that we have received, and item two down kind of the middle of the page indicates where those funds have come from. And then obviously the body of the memo shows where the funds are. Most of it is in safekeeping at Texas, and then we have three CDs spread out among three state banks. And we will be doing a monitoring of whether we can move more funds into longer-term assets to get a little bit better yield. So beginning on page 15 would be the insurance-funded prepaid guarantee fund with ending balance of $746,000. The only activity would be the additions of basically $24,000, and this has to do with the new permit holders have to pay $1 for each contract, so these additions have come in from those charges on the contract. And then on the next page, on page 16, is just evidence that Jesse Sosillo has received the proper training for the Texas Public Funds Investment Act, and fees, it's department training, which is ongoing. And that's all we have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. As a mail, Commissioner Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On SNL's investment report, which is on page 17, the Pioneer Bank CD is a new CD. The Pioneer Bank CD is a new CD. The Horizon Bank has been renewed. And subsequent to these materials, the TBK Bank CD was renewed for 12 months at the same rate as the Pioneer and Horizon. That's our report, subject to any questions you all may have.
Any questions, members?
I do.
Yes, sir.
Chairman.
Mr. Law?
Yes, and I'm not sure exactly the right time to bring this up. I guess if I look at the three reports from the three, you know, commissions, the returns, kind of looking at it from the public side, the returns look all over the place. You're basically getting nothing in the, what they call the treasury safekeeping. And Commissioner Cooper said the chart, you know, you look at putting it in more long-term to get a higher rate of return. I guess my overall question on the investment side is there a minimum amount of money that's required to go into the treasury safekeeping, or are you free to I noticed on the OCC, the CCC, they have some alternate investments that are making a lot of, you know, a big return on them. So when I look, I don't know, the hair just kind of raises on the back of my neck when I see a lot of money in there earning 0.01%. I guess my overall question, is there a minimum amount that needs to stay in that treasury safety plan, or are you free to invest that?
I'll go ahead and address. I mean, the Texas Financial Education Endowment is somewhat different. All of our funds, this actually managed by the people at the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust, but this is more of a long-term portfolio. It's invested to be in a more permanent type of endowment. And so we have some criteria for how much we keep in the cash equivalent portion of that, and that's discussed a little bit in our internal audit. But for our investments, they're all at the Texas Treasury Safekeeping Trust. I mean, and you have to look to the investment policies. We readopt those every August from the Finance Commission, and you know, there's some criteria in there that we look to, but preservation of principal, liquidity, some of those things are pretty important with various bonds, and the other two can certainly speak to that. But beyond that, there's some latitude that the other agencies explore related to investments that might yield some greater return, because we are limited in terms of the investment options available at Treasury Safekeeping Trust. If you're not we're part of a really wide statewide endowment fund portfolio of funds, we're a teeny piece in this giant pond. Or giant ocean of investments with our Texas Financial Education Endowment. So it's a little bit different than what the other two are facing.
And I understand that. I understand that we approve that. I want to understand that a little bit better, but it's just that 0.01, something just doesn't seem right when I look at the return on a lot of dollars between the three commissions, be invested in making a very, in fact, I think that you can't even report them because the numbers are so low, you know, on what you're getting on a lot of money being invested. So maybe it's on me just to understand. I know we invest, we approve those investment policies and year to year and so on.
Larry, just or using on page 14, using the trust funded, we have to be prepared to pay out money. Obviously, we have to have liquidity, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
And $644,000 probably is a little bit too much, but we're evaluating that. But as Commissioner Pettijohn said, we do have limitations via the policy. And then on the so what we do, and I think maybe everybody does this in this regard, but we put out when we have money that we want to put it to CD, we'll kind of bid it out and we'll see what comes back. You know now that the rates are low in the market, and obviously some banks pay more than others, and we keep the amount below the insured amount. We understand your point. Historically, whatever that means anymore, but historically, the money we've had in safekeeping cognizant of that and keep watching, see what our alternatives can be.
Thank you to you both. I, you know, please know I'm not, I know what y'all understand now. I'm not really pointing fingers, just really trying to understand.
And I do want to make some comments.
Okay.
They're not going to be particularly dissimilar from the other two, but we do have an alternative. We have at times had more in CDs. We were getting higher rates for CDs, and we narrowed that. And we have found that not all banks want to have a CD from us at this point. And there, as we go out and get an call and see what we're being offered, we are finding that we're not necessarily able to get as many CDs as we had at one point. But we do look at safety because and the CDs and make sure and try to do the best investment that we can do, based on the limitations.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So Larry, just one other thing. I think you'll find that if we prop on the liquidity that we need, this is a general statement, we probably err to the conservative side, obviously. But I think that we have to kind of look back on history and see how much money we might need all of a sudden. And you never know if we have some type of problem that we have to deal with. And as Commissioner Jones said, right now, a lot of banks don't want any money, any funds. And so it's kind of a combination of all, but we need to keep our eye on that.
Well, I don't envy the challenge you have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. That concluded, Commissioner Jones.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Commissioner Pettijohn, your report, please, on item C.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 18 is our Residential Mortgage Loan Originator Recovery Trust Fund. It's a very small fund, which is available for payment of claims. And it's just got normal activity, some small additions for new license renewals that are in there, or new license applications, rather. Page 19 is the Texas Financial Education Endowment Fund. A bit more activity in this fund over the second quarter. You'll see some additions there, which relate to, again, license renewals. There's an assessment that credit access businesses pay each year that goes into this fund, and this is a substantial portion of those from the second quarter. There'll be one other bulk of additions that the final processing will happen. Those will come in the third quarter. You'll also see there's no money shown in the cash line for grant disbursements in the second quarter. Again, those are happening in the third quarter because there is a disbursement cycle coming, so we'll see some expenditures coming out of there for the grants that we will award. Reimbursements have been submitted for that, so those will be coming out in the third quarter. And then if you look down into the investment portfolio, really the remarkable activity would just be the increase in value. So there was a fairly significant return that we see yields, although it's all, you know, paper for change in value at this point. But and that's by design. But that tells you, you know, the fund continues to grow. We're coming up upon the second, another cycle of the grant program this summer. And so we will be coming back to the commission. The grant advisory committee is planning to meet. We're planning to hold a meeting for them in May. We've got to look at some long-term planning for what level of grants we want to award in the next cycle and sort of look at some long-term strategies associated with this fund. I mean, it's meant, as I said earlier, it's meant to be more of a permanent endowment fund, but it's now grown to a point that you know, it should be able to sustain itself fairly well, depending upon the level of funding of grants that the commission wants to undertake. So we'll need to have some of those conversations going forward. But anyway, that concludes my, I'd be happy to answer any questions about the report, but that concludes my investment officer report.
Thank you, Commissioner. Members, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2021 second quarter investment officer's report?
This is Hector Sedna. So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Commissioner Long, thank you, sir. Any discussion, members? Hearing it none. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. Members, we're going to move on to item D. Commissioner Cooper, would you please give us your report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 20, we have the Texas Department of Banking budget analysis. I ask Tammy Chadley to come forward to give the report.
Good morning.
name again, Sammy Chadley, Texas Department of Banking. On page 20 is our operating statement for the quarter ending February 28, 2021. Actual revenues were at 101.6% of budget, and actual expenditures were at 91.96% of budget. On the next page, on page 21, are our variance explanations for the second quarter of fiscal 2021. I would go over four items. The first one is penalties for non-depository supervision. The variance is due to the higher than anticipated collected penalties from unlicensed money business services and prepaid funeral contract permit holders. Next, our vacancies in terms of FTEs as of February 28, 2021. Were 8 administrative vacancies and 10 financial examiner vacancies. Third item, in-state and out-of-state travel, there's a positive variance there, and that is due to the COVID-19 pandemic that basically virtually all travel is on hold. And the last item is miscellaneous operating costs. The negative variance relates to an unanticipated temporary contract for accounting services. That was for payroll and travel reimbursements. And that expenditure was offset by a CSBS, Conference of State Bank Supervisors, MSB accreditation budgeted expenditure, which was covered by a grant. So are there any questions so far? Okay. On page 22 is our liquidity report for the second quarter. Excuse me. Our unreserved cash balance is at 3.74 months, which is within the liquidity guidelines of 2 to 6 months. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sammy. Just a general comment, and I think all agencies deal with this. COVID obviously has changed a lot of things. And for instance, we showed that we wouldn't travel for the first 2 quarters. In our budget, we showed kicking in travel on the third quarter. So, and we haven't done that. So, because of a lot of variables, I would say, we have the same issues that a lot of our banks are dealing with. It's hard, not an excuse, but well, maybe it is an excuse. We did our best with projecting what COVID would do to us, and I think we've done a reasonably good job, but there were some variables that we just didn't count on.
Commissioner, this is Larry. Are y'all forecasting getting back out and, with the governor's orders or anything? Or is it, I'm sure y'all talk about it every day, all three of you, forecasting when you might be able to get back out in the field.
We have moved right now from no travel, and as an example, we would not have meetings with the bank on location unless I have proved it personally, or vice versa, where they would come in. This issue up where the regional offices have that ability to do it, with the understanding that we won't go to the bank unless the bank is comfortable with it. You know, over this period, we've had some, for instance, at the end of a bank exam, you usually have a board meeting with the bank, and we've been doing all those virtually. A lot of our banks wanted us to physically come there, but in the past, we've said, no, we'll have to do it virtually. Now that's changed, and so each regional director has the authority to make that exception if they want to. But as far as flipping the switch and going back, I'll tell you that I think some of y'all know I'm chairman of the CSBS COVID Recovery Task Force, and nationwide we sent that out in a survey, and the survey shows that in the third quarter, majority of the states say that they will be doing a hybrid, and then in the 57% say that we're doing a hybrid, and then in the fourth quarter, 87% say that they'll be doing a hybrid. So I think we're all talking about it. We all have to deal with our federal counterparts also, so they come into play. So this is something that we're trying to figure out right now. So I think between now and the end of the year, we will end up going back into the banks, but it'll be very slow and on a hybrid basis. That makes any sense?
It does make sense. Very good. And it's very good to hear that we're starting to open back up and things.
We do feel, I'll say that we do feel like that we've done what we're supposed to do, but we've done it differently. And I think we learned some good things about things that will continue when we go into this hybrid situation. But it's really, you know, some banks want us to come back immediately. Some banks still like us to be a little bit careful, and so we're just going to have to play it by ear.
Thank you.
But that, I will tell you that that's been experienced nationwide by all the states and also by the federal agency.
Commissioner Cooper, this is Hector Sevna. But is it a majority, or is it does it swing one way or the other in terms of banks wanting you back in? What I've heard from different counterparts that some want that on site as soon as possible, and others are still more cautious. Well, is there a general feel for the percentage of banks that want us back in?
Hector, that's a tough question, but I would say right now it's probably 30 to 40% that would like us to come back in and do it normally, yes. And the rest of our work is being on a hybrid situation. We will be surveying our banks in that regard to see if we can't get a look. But it also, as all of y'all know, I think it's that question or that issue changes nearly weekly. You know, as we get more people vaccinated, as we learn more, I think everybody is, I won't say we're operating on the fly, but everybody's projections change a little bit. So it's just something we have to continue to look at.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes
your report.
That's my report. Thank you.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to call Antonia Ansoff with the financial report.
Thank you very much. Antonia, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right, great. Our report starts on page 23. This is our financials for the second quarter. The variances are explained on page 24. Our revenues overall are 27% over budget. We have discussed this, but I will mention it again. We have very high volume of license applications coming in, times more than normal. The assessments are also 8% over budget due to growth in the thrift industry assets. We have discussed in the last meeting that we will be waiving assessments and we reduced license fees. So these numbers will start going down during the third quarter. The expenditure variances are mostly due to vacancies. We are continuing to hire, however, it's just a slower process. The negative variance in other personnel costs is due to lump sums paid out at retirement for separating employees. Usually we have those funds reserved in our reserves for potential separations like that. The overall expenditures are at 83.6% of budget. Our liquidity report is on page 25, and we are currently, as of the end of the second quarter, we were at 10.8 months, and this is going to be the highest this year. It's already going down due to the reduction of the fees that I mentioned. Right now, my rough calculations, right now we're already at 9.5, and it will continue to go down. And this is my report, unless you have any questions for me.
Divided into, I can't get that. I'm going to divide it into three buckets. In this building meeting to date, my upcoming meetings are all scheduled for WebEx. However, I'm starting to let people know that if they want to meet here, we will do that as long as we can social distance. Like, I couldn't have 50 people in my office right now. But if we can meet a reasonable distance, then yes, I will accept meetings in the office. I'll accept meetings in the office. And with regard to the mortgage industry, our exams are still off-site. However, if we need to go in, we certainly have the right to. Now, that's not that different than pre-COVID, because the majority of our licensees are very electronic in their documents, so we don't have to go in anyway. Or their headquarters is out of state, and so we're looking online anyway. The difference is there are some of the mortgage companies that are not totally electronic. We will get that on the way. Right now, we're still doing off-site today. But there's not a huge change on the mortgage side anyway. On the thrift side, we have been off-site until recently. And right now, what we are doing for any exam that we're scheduling from this point forward, we are discussing with them if they want to for any portion of it, we will come on-site. And we do all our exams jointly with the FDIC or the Fed. They're on mandatory telework till mid-summer at this point. But we've told them and we've told the savings banks that if they want us on-site, we will work that out with the federal counterparts, and that we are there when they are not, and to whatever extent is needed. Now, so far, none of the savings banks have wanted us to come on-site, so we have not. But that is part of our pre-exam discussion.
So that's just starting right now, because it doesn't look like there's been really any travel to date. So
correct. To date, we have not traveled really at all for exams or those of us who, most of the events that we speak at have been remote, set up remotely by the host, so we don't know.
Thanks for that one clarification. I wasn't aware that you did a large part of yours virtually anyway. You know, for your...
But we always have the right to go in if we suspect that there's an issue.
Thank you.
And unless there are any other questions, that does conclude our report.
Thank you, Commissioner Jones. Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be giving our report today, which begins on page 26. In terms of revenues, you'll see that revenues are 2.9% over budget, so we're pretty well on track with our revenue collection. If you look at expenditures, overall expenditures are 20% under budget. We have the same two things that you've heard from the other agencies, I think, are the issues with us as well, somewhat. Vacancies, our expenditures on compensation, about 11% under budget. We've had some turnover. We've delayed filling some open positions. That has now begun, but it doesn't show up yet in the second quarter, so we are going to produce some unexpended costs, we'll say, in that particular category. We have a couple of positions posted now, and we're probably getting ready to post a new exam. Well, we are getting ready to post a new exam in our class with about six or seven positions, too. So that's pretty significant that will move ahead, at least in that particular area. Travel, I will mention, we planned the budget. Again, we didn't have perfect clarity on what was going to happen with COVID, and we did expect to have some travel, but reduced travel in the first half of the year. We've been actually out in the field in some places since last June, even. And I would say we have now more formally adopted a hybrid model, at least starting in March, that we've been, our examiners are out in the field at least a couple of days a week. So we are back out there. We're starting, flying trips to West Texas even, I think coming up, starting next month. But it's gradual. It's still a hybrid method, and it's not full-time. And we have projected full-time travel starting in March. So, again, we're sort of having to adjust to those new kind of requirements, but as things get better, we're seeing things open up more and more and more. So that will, but we have somewhat projected that, but it didn't quite
moving on to page 28 in our liquidity report, you'll see we are also at 10.8 months of reserves. This is the high point in terms of our revenue cycle. We get the predominant amount of revenue in the first half of the year, especially when we reset the renewal period for motor vehicle licenses. We set that early in the year. So we've got most of our income now. As I reported to you at the last meeting, that the second quarter excess liquidity was going to be high. It should be our high point coming down from here. Obviously, we're going to monitor this closely. And as a reminder, at the end of fiscal year 20, we were at 5.9 months. Again, I'm a little concerned about how we're going to end. I don't have a current projection for the end of the year. I think it's going to be a little bit higher than I had initially anticipated because of some of these unexpended costs, especially related to COVID. But we're doing our best to try to balance those. And we may increase the discount on the pawn license. That's really the only renewal we have left coming up this summer. So we may try to enhance the discount for them to bring in a little less revenue there. And then we can sort of catch up again with next cycle in the budget with some of the others and probably enhance the discount going forward in the future years for the other types of licenses. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, that concludes my operating statements report.
Any questions, members? Just a comment from the chair's position. I you know, when we started this COVID, we were all uncertain what we were going to be facing, and I want to commend all three agencies and their teams for walking tight rope as well as you have, but it's been certainly a challenge. It's a balance. You have to take into consideration the health and well-being of your team members and that of protecting the public and also carrying out the mission that you're set to do. And I commend all three of you for doing a great job, and please pass on our thanks to your team members for helping us achieve these results. Members, do I hear a motion to recommend the Finance Commission approve the agency's 2021 second quarter financial statement?
Very long, I'll make a
second.
This is Hector, second.
Thank you, Hector. Any discussion, members? Hearing none, all in motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item E, Commissioner Cooper.
Okay, but beginning on item page 29, we have the okay, we have the audit report for Garden Gonzalez, and I believe Kim Gonzalez is on the line.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Kim Lopez Gonzalez, representing Garza Gonzalez and Associates. And also on this at this meeting is Chica Cherry. She is an auditor with our firm and is the person who worked very closely with the agency to conduct the audit that you have before you. The audit of the consumer assistance area can be found in your board packet on pages 29 through 46. We began this audit in February. We issued a draft report mid-March and a final report a few days later on March 25th, 2021. I'd like to thank the staff that we worked with, specifically Wendy Rodriguez, Michelle Hodge, and Jesse Sasio, for providing all the information requested in a timely manner to provide us to perform an efficient audit. This audit was performed 100% remote, as we have been doing since the pandemic started, since last year, last March of 2020. So even though it was remote, we still were able to complete the audit by having either Zoom meetings or conference calls as needed, and all the information was provided electronically. So that was great. And now before you, you do have the report. Page 31 of your report is our report to you, commission members, indicating that we performed the audit of the consumer assistance area for the 5 months ended January 31st, 2021. Based on the results of the audit, we do have one comment and recommendation, which I believe was indicated at the beginning of the of this meeting when Wendy was highlighting those audits that were outstanding. In addition to the comment and recommendation, we do have a couple of observations that are also included in this report. If you wouldn't mind turning to page 34 of your report. Pages 34 through 38 is the executive summary of the consumer assistance area. This gives the background of the area. I don't intend to go through it in detail. However, I do want to highlight and just refresh your memories that DOB was one of the state agencies that was evaluated by the Sunset Commission during the 2018-19 review. And as part of that review, there were a couple of mandates relating to the complaint processing as recommendation 4.2 and 4.4 for the commission to develop an updated complaint process and to update the agency's complaint processing provisions to meet the Sunset Commission standard across the board requirements. With those mandates from the Sunset, the legislature did adopt Senate Bill 614, which amended the Texas Finance Code, and the Finance Commission did codify Title VII of the TAC, which became effective September 8th, 2019, to address those, to implement, I guess, the rules of that mandate. Page 35 does give further information related to the area. I'm just going through it just in a little bit more detail because it is a new area that we identified as an audit area this year because of that Sunset Commission comment and recommendation. So they're based on the consumer complaint, the complaints can either be a complaint or an inquiry. And just bringing this to your attention because further along in the report, when we talk about the comments and observations, this does become an issue back there when we discuss those. And page 36 does identify the divisions of the Department of Banking that are responsible for the complaint processing. So the two divisions that are responsible for the complaint processing is the Division of Strategic Support and the Non-Depository Supervision. The Division of Strategic Support is responsible for processing complaints against state charter banks, trusts, and foreign bank agencies, while the NDS division is responsible for processing complaints against MSBs, perpetual care cemeteries, and prepaid funeral costs. Further down on that report, the last paragraph does just indicate the two systems that are used by these divisions to track all the information that is received by those divisions regarding complaints and or inquiries. Page 37 of the report provides background information on two performance measures related to complaint processing. There is an outcome measure and an output measure. The little table here on page 37 provides the number of jurisdictional and non-jurisdictional complaints and inquiries for the 5 months ended January 31st, 2021. And lastly, page 38 of the report, there was a Finance Commission directive dated October 18, 2019 that came out of an efficiency audit that the Finance Commission had a third party entity perform. As part of that directive, a work group was required to perform various functions related to the complaint processing. And based on our review, we understand that three meetings have taken place on March 5th, August 31st, and February 1st. And those statuses of those directives are reported to you, the Finance Commission, during the months of October and April. So that gives you just a very high summary of the background of that area. Page 39 through page 41 provides you with the objective, the scope, the methodology, and our procedures that we performed to achieve the objective of our audit. Page 42 is a summary of the findings and recommendations related to our audit, with the finding being related to performance measures, which I believe Wendy touched on a bit in her when she discussed the agency's activities. And then there are a couple of observations. So page 43, covers the performance measures comment and recommendation, and there is management's responses where they are indicating how they will be addressing those inconsistencies that we identified as part of our testing. And page 44 and 45, as indicated before, are observations. One of them is related to complaint processing, where we identified some inconsistencies in the in what was reported versus the source documentation, the actually incorrect data that was included in the SARA by the NDS division. And page 45 has a observation related to inquiries reporting, where we identify there's some inconsistent reporting between the DSS and the NDS divisions of complaints versus divisions. So management's response is that the DSS will simplify their data entry and mirror that of the NDS. So that's pretty much a high level summary of our audit and the results of our audit. And Chica and I are here, both here to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Any questions, members?
No questions.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Kim. Members, I'm gonna hear, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Texas Department of Banking Consumer Assistance Audit Report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
This is Hector Sevna, so moved.
Thank you, Hector. Second?
Larry Long, I'll second.
Members, any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Ayes have it, and the motion passes. Thank you so much. We will now move on to item F, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that Tim is also going to handle presenting the report on the Investment Portfolio Administration.
Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. It's Kim again, Kim Gonzalez. I'm here to report to you the TP Fund Investment Portfolio Administration results of that audit. That report can be found on pages 47 through 58 of your packet. Page 49 of that report is our report to you, commissioners, indicating that we did audit the TP Fund area for the 5 months ended January 31st, 2021. And pages 52 through 54 of that report is the background of that area. As you know, the TP Fund was established in 2011 and to be administered by the OCCC. And it is funded with annual endowment fees not to exceed $200 that are assessed by the CAB licensing holder and applicant. The administration of the TP Fund investments is governed by the OCC's investment policy, which is reviewed and approved by the Finance Commission annually, with the last review being done August 21st, 2020. Although the OCC investments are not subject to the Public Funds Investment Act, they do mirror the requirements of that Public Funds Investment Act. And the reason for them not being subject to that is because they are invested by the TTSTC. However, the review that we do is to ensure that all the investments are in accordance with the investment policy, which pretty much does mirror the Public Funds Investment Act. Page 53 of that report does give a little bit more background, indicating to you that the TP Fund is one of the 11 endowment funds managed by the TTSTC. And I know a lot of this information, Leslie covered it with the comments that were being that took place with item, I believe, C or D earlier during this meeting. Down below page 53, I just wanted to indicate to you that the director of the OCCC that is responsible for administering the fund does determine whether any excess balances in the cash account, because there is a cash account and there's an investment account that comprises the TFE fund. So what is done is that they kind of analyze the cash balances to determine when there should be transfers to the investment fund. And so the target cash account balance is computed as 10% of the total TFE fund balance plus grant awards to be dispersed in the fiscal year. For the 5 months ended January 31st, 2021, there were no transfers of cash to the investment account. Page 54 is a snapshot of the TP Fund account balances for August 31st, 2019, August 31st, 2020, and for the 5 months ended January 31st, 2021. As you can see, those at the last line item there, the total endowment fund, you can see that those balances have been increasing from 2019 to 2020. There was about a $400,000 increase. As of January 31st, 2021, that fund balance, the balance in that fund has increased as well. However, keep in mind that there have been no disbursements made
to grantees for during that for this fiscal year. In addition to that balance of the 8.7 million, there was $346,000 that was collected during the 5 month period from January through January 2021. However, it's not reflected here since when it's collected, it's sitting in OCC's operating account until it is processed. So subsequent to our audit, we understand that there was transfers out from the operating account into the TFEE fund. Page 55 through 56 of the report outlines our objective, scope, methodology, and the procedures we performed to achieve the objective of our audit. Page 57 is the summary of our comment and recommendation, which can be found on page 58. Page 58 relates to the comment for the cash account reconciliations. Basically, what we identified was that bank reconciliations are not being performed timely. They were performed 2 to 5 months after the respective month end. In addition to that, the manual that requires the monthly bank reconciliation does not define a completion date. So we are recommending that OCC consider defining that completion date to ensure that bank reconciliations are performed timely to identify any unusual items in a timely manner. And that pretty much is the summary of the report. And again, Chica and I are here to address any comments or questions that you may have regarding this report.
Thank you, Kim. Members, any questions?
No questions on my end.
Thank you both. Members, do I hear a motion to recommend that the Finance Commission approve the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's TFEE Fund Investment Portfolio Administration Audit Report as prepared and presented by Garza Gonzalez and Associates?
Larry Long, so moved.
Thank you, sir. Is there a second?
This is Hector Cerna, a second.
Thank you very much. Any discussion, members? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. We'll now move on to item G, Commissioner Pettyjohn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That item relates to the report on the Texas Financial Education Endowment, and I'd like to call upon Andre Johnson to provide that report for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner.
I'm Andrea Johnson, the Grant Financial Education Coordinator for the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. Semi-annual grant reports and reimbursement requests for the second quarter of the 2020-2021 TFEE grant cycle have been submitted. During the second reporting period, a total of $64,636.77 has been requested for reimbursement. This reporting period was from June 1st to December 31st, 2020. The second semi-annual TFEE report is included in today's audit committee packet. A review of existing grant documents is underway. The 2022-2023 TFEE grant cycle will open for applications this summer. Thank you.
And then, just for your information, we prepared, Andrea does a great job preparing these semi-annual reports, which she mentioned, that follows the summary report that you just had. So it's sort of detailed information about each of the grantees, then the current cycle, how much they've spent to date, some of their program highlights, achievements, and some of their challenges. So it's just an informational report that we provide on a semi-annual basis.
And just for an overview, Commissioner, this is all focused towards financial literacy, all these grants have requested.
Correct. These are all supporting consumer credit, building activities, and financial education. There may be financial counseling. There's different elements, K-12 education, adult education, different types of programs that the Finance Commission identifies with these current grant recipients.
Members, any questions?
Can I add one more thing? And I just wanted to mention that the Grant Advisory Committee is really critical for us in terms of working through this. We appreciate the service on the Grant Advisory Committee. Two of the Finance Commission members typically serve on that committee. With the departure of Molly Curl, she was one of those members. We'll be asking the chairman for the appointment of a new GAC member from the Finance Commission very shortly.
Will do. Thank you so much. Members, are there any questions?
Yes, Mr.
members, any other comments or questions during the audit committee? Seeing none, there's no further business of the meeting of the audit committee of the Finance Commission of Texas. It's now adjourned. The time is 9:25 a.m.